Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Here at Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, there is nothing like it.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our hosts, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Two great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo. Todd Horn, Andre Champagne, and what a show we have lined up for you here over the next couple of hours. We got some great guests, including Peter Burns from the SEC Network. He will join us. We'll hear from Jacques Doucet from WAFB, Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball. So we'll get into all those topics. And, of course, a lot of talk about Will Wade, where the LSU baseball program is at. We'll put a button on the LSU women's basketball season. We'll talk a little football. Lane Kiffin spoke once again today. And so, man, just a ton to get to. We got to change the open to the show again. Maybe this time it sticks for a while. I don't know. We'll see. We got
North Carolina State's changing a lot of their shows. They only had them up for not even a year.
Yeah, right. But my girl Michelle Southern was a little too busy. I understand. But we'll get it for you next week with the Will Wade.
At least we don't still have Kelly on.
Yeah, we don't. But, man, what a time to be alive if you're an LSU fan. Just the amount of – and to be someone that's covering the program, because there are some interesting people that are running the major sports over at LSU. They have interesting things to say. They're interesting personalities. Even Jay Johnson, who's a guy that doesn't make too many waves every now and then. He gives you some good stuff. I thought what he said after the game against Kentucky was one of his better post-game press conferences. We'll get into that. But even just the last few days here in the world of LSU sports with the Will Wade news coming down Friday, the heartbreaking buzzer beater loss on Friday night for the Lady Tigers.
That and then, ball's still going around the hoop. Three revolutions.
Yeah, and then LSU baseball coming from behind, down 7 to beat Kentucky 17-10. And then Will Wade's press conference on Monday, which was – it kind of went like how I expected it to, guys.
It was a pep rally. Media. And, it really wasn't a press conference.
But he delivered the sound bites. He said exactly what LSU fans were hoping to hear him say. And we're off and running now with Will Wade. We'll see if the sequel is as good or better than the original.
What do you think it'll be?
Man, that's a good question. I think it'll be entertaining. I think the SEC is different now, but I think he'll be productive. There was a question that I was going to ask later on in the show. I don't want to bring it up right now, but I'll bring it up later. I mean, out of these, between Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Kim Mulkey, and Will Wade, who's going to be the first one that's not going to be the head coach? But we can talk about that a little bit later. But
you already got the firing?
Yeah,
I'm
not saying necessarily firing. He could have a retiring in there as well.
Or leaving.
And I'm not an AI bot. This is going to be radio discussion maybe later on in the show. But, Wade's got a 7-year contract, and I think he's going to be here for a majority of it, if not all of it.
You don't think there's enough to go around? Is that what you're saying?
I think there's a lot of egos, personalities. There's a lot of money that's belt. I don't want to say belt tightening, but the expectations are really, really high.
And not salary money, roster money.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to be fighting over.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Will Wade spoke on Monday, and Lane Kiffin speaking on Tuesday. Today was kind of an afterthought, you know. The former rock star, now Will Wade's the lead singer for a little while. Kind of like David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar flipping off there. But, no, I think, you know, it is a different league. The SEC's better than it was when Wade was here last time, and it is a little harder to get players because everybody's paying for players now as opposed to just Will and some other guys back when he was here the first time. But, you know, even while Wade was cheating as LSU's coach, he still had to know how to recruit.
Mm-hmm.
And all the coaches in history that have cheated, they still got to know how to recruit because there's a lot of coaches who were cheating that still weren't any good.
Right. One of the things that I always – and I even saw this with when he was at McNeese – there's a particular type of player that he's always looking for. And I think he's always done a very good job in recruiting guys and having a vision for them. And I think he's done very well with that. And that to me is one of his, I think that's one of his specialties of being a coach. And when you look at his coaching record, he's never had a losing season. He's won four regular season championships now four regular season championships at three different stops. I understand North Carolina State 2 years ago was in the Final Four, but still first year there, 20 win season, get into the first four. The guy just.
Yeah. And the team he inherited was pretty bad.
Yeah. And
after the Final Four, the year after.
And I think for Wade, some of the stuff that he said, especially after the ACC tournament, I think he really didn't mean it, that he planned to come back for year number two, and it was going to be a different basketball team. I think different type of players, obviously, and I think he really thought that he was going to get that program really moving in the right direction, and then...
Oh, no, I think he was thinking of leaving for several weeks.
Yeah, but
that makes you wonder how much his heart was in it when they lost eight of their last 10 games.
Maybe so.
But he didn't just decide to come to LSU.
No, he didn't. I understand that, but I think there were still some things that he needed assurances for, including making sure Heath Schroyer was here.
Oh, right. Yeah, I thought you were saying that about North Carolina State didn't come through. I mean, he was only there a year.
Right.
They couldn't come through. But to answer your question of a minute ago, I think they're going to be better, and I think he's going to get to be about as good as he was before. It just might take him a little longer. But he's going to win, man. I think they're going to win immediately. I think they're going to be hovering around 500 in the SEC next year, and then they'll move on from there.
What do you think, Todd?
I think he's going to have a top-tier salaried roster, and I think he's going to have the best players that he can possibly get that money can buy, and I think that they're going to have excitement galore next year, and they're going to finish in the top four of the SEC.
Wow, top four. See, I can see more of a 500-type season in league play. Just because you got so much to build up here.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the top half of the league. Do you think his roster budget will go up from 12 or 13 million to like 20 million?
I think when you add the 12.5 million that I'm convinced NIL is going to give to him, plus the 3 million from revenue share, you're at 15.5 million, and that puts him like 3 or 4 in the SEC based on this year.
Okay.
And I think that's right where they will finish.
And then
it's interesting, because they have zero players on April the 7th, more than likely, right now.
Yeah.
With Mozzie Mosley entering the portal or saying he's going to enter the portal today. That's four of the remaining six players they had with eligibility left. So
I think you should try to keep some of the guys that are here.
He's already talked to six of them, and four of them are in the portal right now. So.
But we don't know if he wanted him or not. He could have spoke to him, but we don't know if he wanted him.
Well, he said if they wanted to be here, he wanted them here.
Oh, he did say that? Well,
he said that in a press conference yesterday.
He says a lot of things.
Well, let's hear a little bit from what Will Wade had to say. Let's hear from this is one, I think, one of my favorite things that he had to say. This will be a Will Wade 3, Andre.
I want everybody to know with LSU basketball, like, our time is now with LSU basketball. I didn't come here to reflect and talk about the past and any of that stuff. I came here to win, and we're going to win immediately. LSU and Louisiana deserves a winner, and that's what we're going to deliver, and we're going to deliver that in short order. In short order. Listen, everybody has this notion, like, LSU basketball is not meant to be average, mediocre, or pretty good. You can throw that stuff out. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. This program's meant to be great. This program's meant to compete at the highest levels of college basketball, night in and night out. And as we say down here, it just means more.
Just a passion from Will Wade. That's what's been missing.
It's interesting because that's what the fan base wants. That's what is going to excite the fan base. But that's not the substance of what LSU has done. LSU didn't go on a coaching search here. Mm-hmm. They went out and executed a plan to bring in and build the revenue for the only other sport besides football that makes money for this program that was basically apathetically dying.
Yes.
And so they said, hey, if we're going to pump some money into this, we're going to make some money out of it. And they're putting their money where their mouth is. Now, they're, you know, Matt Moscona asked Will Wade yesterday about, you know, the commitment on the roster, and the comment was basically there is no commitment. But at the same time, he said, we're going to spend as much as we need to spend, so there is no ceiling apparently either. But the reality of it is they are going to spend way more than they spent with Matt McMahon because they believe that mm-hmm. the return on that investment is going to be there. This is like a professional team who's executing – a roster build that is, and I believe this too. I believe that Will Wade knows exactly who his 13 to 15 players are going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember when he was hired at McNeese, and as soon as that transfer portal window was open, he was getting commitments left and right. I mean, it's crazy how he's able to identify, and that's what I was talking about a few minutes ago. Let's go ahead and play Will Wade 4 here, Andre, about the identity of the teams that he wants here at LSU.
We're going to be rooted in aggression. We're going to be rooted in toughness. We're going to be rooted in discipline. And we're going to recruit competitors that want to play that way. We're going to recruit competitors that understand what it means to put those three letters across your chest every day. You won't find anybody that's more proud to wear that LSU in state of Louisiana than this guy right here. And we're going to find 15 players that are willing to lay it on the line for us every night.
Hey, go ahead and play 5, too. Because that's a good follow-up to this.
We're going to come back. We're going to have a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense at the same time, which will allow us to compete at the level that we want to compete at. Defensively, we're going to be disruptive. We're going to play aggressive defensively and be disruptive. Offensively, we're going to be relentless, attacking the paint, attacking the rim. Then we're going to have the details and discipline with our special teams, all right?
So he's never been a great defensive coach, but he did say yesterday that he's learned mm-hmm. how what the formula is, and he's promising a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense next year. He knows who his players are going to be.
All right, let's take our first break of the show, come back. We'll dive into some more of the stuff that Will Wade talked about. We'll have to get to some LSU baseball talk. Got to talk some Lady Tigers as well. And again, if you're not able to catch the entire show, it will be available up on YouTube once the show is over with. And also you can catch us wherever you get your podcast. This is Tiger Rag Radio. Glenn, Todd, myself, Jeff Palermo will be all back after this from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
Tiger Rag Radio is back, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
You know, we're coming back to make history. We're going to make history one way or the other. We're coming back, like Dr. Ruth said, to try to hang a banner, win a national championship, or I'm going to be the first coach fired from the same school twice. But one way or another, we're going to make history. And it's going to be a fun ride one way or the other. Ain't no doubt about that.
That was a great line there from Will Wade. And when he said that, that was the first, I would say, the first humorous line of his press conference. I said, he's back. He's back when he said that. That was a great line.
I believe him, too. Because LSU has made such a big, huge commitment here financially.
Yeah.
They literally are saying, we're going for it all. And if they don't get it, it is going to backfire.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they will get it.
Yeah.
And I think.
Well, what do you deem as success for LSU men's basketball? To me, it's
11, 12, $14 million worth of revenue generated, maybe even more than that in terms of sponsorships that is brand new and driven. Packed assembly, packed PMAC. Special promotions and event sponsorships and things like that that they have absolutely no chance of pulling off under their
right
present.
I get that, but as far as winning, how far? I mean, is there a mandate for him to win a national championship? Like, I don't think so.
No, it's to be relevant, and he wants to win
right
the national championship, and they're going to try, and they're going to be competing at that level. You know, the bottom line is if they make it next year into the NCAA tournament and win week one and win week two.
That's a successful season.
That's hugely successful. And then if you make it that far, you can go all the way.
Well, what I was thinking is like pretty much what he nearly did in his first five-year run if it wasn't for COVID. Four NCAA tournament appearances in 5 years.
Yeah. And
you're going to have a year where you just.
Well, yeah, his first year here. But he didn't make the tournament, but there was still a lot of excitement, and that could happen this year. They could sell out the building, have a decent season, and not make the NCAA tournament, and that's still a success.
But why? What's stopping them from being in the top upper echelon of the SEC right now? It's not – you don't have 2 years to build a program anymore. You've got the financial commitment to build your roster – go get the players that you need and turn it around right now. And then you just got to lather, rinse, and repeat and do it all over again the next year.
But that's what all the other schools are doing too. They can't all do it at the same time.
No, but LSU's making a commitment to do it.
Well, okay, but they might not be able to do it in the first year.
Of course
year.
They may not be able to. Only a couple of them are going to be.
But why not LSU?
Why not LSU? Well,
I agree with you, but maybe not the first year, though.
Why? What's the difference between first year and fifth year?
Because development. And he's going to keep some players. He even said there might be sticker shock on his first portal class, but he's going to keep the guys. So that means they get a little better the second year, just like Kiffin.
But I think he's in a better point than Kiffin because of the familiarity of the terrain
here at LSU. That's what he said.
And fewer players.
He also said the last couple of years he was here at LSU before, even though the SEC wasn't nearly as good as it is now, that he was only operating at 60% because of all the penalties and things against him.
I found that a very interesting statement. I never really looked at it that way, that they were still having success.
And the sanctions hadn't come in yet. Yeah, I don't know what he was talking about.
Well, but there were still some self-imposed penalties that the school had put on themselves
to try and deflect,
and he was also,
but not immediately. But that was a little later.
But he was hamstrung. He was not allowed. I mean, he was Scott when, especially when Scott Woodward took over as AD. He had all eyes on him. He couldn't do anything crazy.
The reality of it is
and he couldn't be on the phone talking with recruits.
They had recruiting restrictions. They couldn't go visit as many times as other teams could. They couldn't make as many phone calls. They were restricted for the last couple of years.
And
I would imagine some of the under-the-table deals were axed because he was caught on an FBI. I mean, some of that had to be reduced.
He was still cheating until the very end.
There's no doubt about it.
But only at 60%. He was only cheating at 60%.
That might be a good way to look at it. Here was another great line from Will Wade yesterday. This is going to be Will Wade number 7, Andre, about how he left North Carolina State.
I'm at peace with how I left. I'm at peace with what we did. And, you know, look, I mean, they're pretty mad for a coach they didn't think was very good. So
another great one-liner from Will.
They're mad because they love bombed them. That's what I learned that term today. I didn't know that
love
term.
Bombed
love
them?
Bombed
great.
Them.
That's actually a great comparison right there, Todd.
Well, and they thought they'd have him for more than 1 year, even though his first year was a little disappointing and ended weakly, 8 of 10 losses. But they were still much better.
That's what love bombing
than last
is.
Year.
Love like bombing it. Love bombing. Sorry, Andre.
No, but you got this.
Love bombing is whenever you meet somebody and they tell you everything that you want to hear, and then all of a sudden they pull the rug out from under you and they're gone. Because as late as last week, he was saying everything they wanted to hear.
It's like leading you on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. And who was the guy we had on, Glenn, 2 weeks ago?
Friedlander.
Friedlander, who was pretty sure that
70%.
Yeah, Will was not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lot of people in denial. There's still a lot of people in denial here. When you had the story, Glenn, of Heath Schroyer coming here, I said
March 13th.
I said that's a done deal. If he's coming, Heath Schroyer's not coming here unless Will Wade's coming here. And at that point, I'm like, okay, this thing's really going to happen. He was the necessary person they needed, a buffer between Will Wade and Virg Ausberry. Not to say that those two guys hate each other, but you have to figure there's got to be some trust issues just because Virg was part.
I don't think so, man. I think
I'm not saying that Virg is.
I think Virg really wants Will Wade now.
But I think from Will, I'm sure there were things that were told to him during when all this stuff, and it still came from Woodward slash Ausberry.
Yeah, but that was Woodward's call on.
I understand that, but still, Verge is the right hand man. It's kind of like dealing with the vice president. You know, I mean, it's that regime. There was still he needed Heath there just to be the guy to kind of buffer it there. And that's the guy I'm going to report to. I don't need to go to Verge all the time. I'm going to go to Heath instead.
Maybe so. Maybe so in Will's mind. But I think Will is going to be an excellent coach at LSU, even if all these McNeese people weren't here. Okay? Because Will's a good coach, and he doesn't need all those people. Now, they need some people doing that, but it doesn't have to be those guys. But it just happens way now.
It's a comfort level, though.
I think you're underestimating Heath's role.
Oh, no, I think Heath has a big role. I just think there's a lot of people out there that can do it.
I think he's got a hotline into some huge money.
Yes.
And I think that's exactly why he's here.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's exactly why Wade wanted him, not just because he likes him, but because he thinks he can get him the revenue that he needs to be successful here.
All right, we got to take a break. Way late for it. Peter Burns from the SEC Network will join us when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo and Todd Horn as we continue on from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. Let's get right to our first guest of the night. That is Peter Burns from the SEC Network. Peter, how you doing tonight, man?
Man, I'm doing decent. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you guys, and once again, Baton Rouge, Louisiana is the home of everybody's talking points between spring football and Will Wade and Mulkey and Jay Johnson. I mean, it's a damn good day to be alive to be a Tiger fan.
Well, what do you make out of the fact that it seems like LSU has become the heel here? They're the villain. Do you like a lot of the LSU fan base say, yeah, that's right. If you don't like us, too bad. The reason why you don't like us is because you don't have what we got. Is that how you look at it?
I remember one of the first people that ever, the vice president of Fox Sports Radio, when I first started radio, one of my first shows after a commercial break, he goes, and I said something that was kind of controversial, and I said, man, I don't know if I should have said that. He goes, you got two, you know, there's three different ways in life. Either people are going to love you, they're going to hate you, or they're going to be in between, and you don't want to ever be in between. And I was like, well, that is Verge and the governor and all of that coming together in the 225 right now. Like, if you're an LSU fan, you love it, and if you're not, you hate it, and that's okay. At least you have an opinion about it. And again, you know, on paper, it's $200 million of investment over the next 2 years. But I broke it down on my radio show a couple days ago that as long as football carries the weight, as long as Lane makes the college football playoff in back-to-back seasons and hopefully at least one deep run, then the finances of it actually pay off. You're going to get that in athletic revenue. You're going to get that in donations and booster support. And you're probably going to get another uptick because it's already the strongest brand in college sports, in out-of-state tuition, which is only going to give you a little bit more money in the coffers as well.
So why does the rest of the country paint LSU as a villain right now? Just put it in plain English.
Well, I mean, they look at it as the fact of, all right, well, Will Wade was caught on a federal wiretap, and he got fired, okay, and removed back in the day. So all of a sudden, wait a minute, you're bringing this guy back? Okay, that's one part of it. People are going to hate LSU baseball just because they win national championships. They're going to hate Kim Mulkey because she's won a national championship. She's got a different little candor about her. And they're going to hate Lane Kiffin just because he knows how to troll, and he trolled everybody on his way out of Oxford. So, I mean, I think those are all the storylines, and that they always don't like LSU to begin with because it's the best damn fans in the country.
What do you think Will Wade does next year at LSU?
Needs to make the tournament. I mean, you know, that's the thing for Will is Will loves LSU. LSU loves Will, right? And so now you sit there and go, all right, what can you bring down to Baton Rouge, right? I mean, and the question was, and obviously strong-ass offers, you know, back in the day, you know, was that kind of the same world that Hugh Freeze lived in at Ole Miss, where they had some players down there that might have been out, you know, in down in Mississippi that weren't necessarily just there for the scholarship. Well, when Hugh Freeze got back to Auburn, when everybody could do it, he didn't stand out. So the question is, all right, if Will comes back in here, can he stand out? And I think he's a firestorm enough of a guy and a good coach that he can stand out. And LSU's going to have talent. Hell, Matt McMahon was able to get talent. Just they were banged up, and they could never just get the support. And now Will's going to have that support behind him to get a roster together and make a tournament.
So Matt McMahon was not a bad X's and O's basketball coach. He just never could get the support that he needed, and he couldn't go fight his own fights to get the support that he needed. You agree with that or disagree with that?
No, I think I believe in that because, I mean, I think the, you know, I said the Brian Kelly and Matt McMahon situations were very similar. And the fact that when they decided what they were going to do, were they going to stay the course or they were going to make a change, they went to the powerful power brokers and the people with the money. And those people said, you know what, if you decide to run it back one more year with these guys, the money's dried up. I just can't. But if you make a change and it's this person, in football it was Lane Kiffin, in basketball it's Will, well, all of a sudden maybe I might be able to open up my wallet. So, you know, Verge and the university president and even hell all the way up to the governor have to decide, are you going to have to pay a premium to get people excited and to donate back into the program? And that's why this is going to be a great litmus test across the country on whether or not a big investment like this is it a home run or does it end up being a strikeout?
there's nothing to stop Will Wade or Lane Kiffin from being successful in year one now, the way the sports are built.
Right.
So realistically, Wade should make the tournament. And even though Kiffin has to play 9 SEC games and a very, very difficult schedule, he should at least show progress over that 7-6 team last year.
Yeah, and progress will not cut it. I mean, anything less than 9-3 is an absolute disaster for Lane in the first year. And truthfully, it needs to be a college football playoff berth. I mean, you know, can you be one of the top 12 teams? You have a great recruiting class. You have a brilliant offensive mind, and Charlie going to be calling the plays. You still got Blake Baker there, who's, I think, one of the best defensive minds. You got Lane, who's the portal king, and he's landed all these guys. You know, I would be vastly, extremely disappointed if it isn't a college football playoff team. And that's why, because that's why you brought Lane in there. And I think a lot of people were earlier, you know, last week we're talking, you know, with Lane going, oh, we need patience. I don't think people understood that the full part of that conversation. That quote had nothing to do with patient this year. That meant more patient here in spring football and patient building up to this upcoming season, because Lane knows, like, you don't spend however many millions and millions or tens of millions of dollars to go throw out 9-3 in that schedule.
Right.
You don't.
Well, but sometimes the portal players don't work out. That's what happened to Nate Oates this year. Sometimes those guys.
Happened to Kiffin 2 years ago.
Yeah, and it happened to Kiffin when he had the number one class at Ole Miss in 24. They were better this past year. Sometimes it doesn't work out, and he might go 9-3, and Wade might not make the NCAA tournament this year. But they're not going to get fired, and their portal classes are still going to be good, especially Lane's, because he really signed 2 portal classes. So I think the key is more the second year for both of them.
I will, but I say that, but then again, how many of those people have put their money that Tiger Athletic Foundation and all the NIL stuff? How many times have they picked up their phone because somebody's begging, you know, asking them for more money to donate, and they donated, and they're not patient. Rich people are not patient, my friend. Like, they, if you're going to give money to it, you want something to happen right here, right now. They don't care. They don't want excuses. They don't want, oh, well, the schedule's really tough. Oh, well, we'll get them in 2 years from now. That's not, because if you don't get it in year one, what's going to happen is the next time you call, are those people willing to give more or less?
They won't have they won't have to give more the second year, because Lane and Will are both spending heavy the first year. That's what's happening.
But guess what? You know what happens if they're not, you know, they can go all in on this first year, but if it doesn't hit, and let's say they go 8-4, even 9-3, and don't make the playoff, what do you think they're going to do? Spend less money the next year? Yeah. No, it's like a guy that's at the blackjack table and he's down. He's going to spend even more money and say, well, we're already pot committed. We have to go after it. Now, I say that with the same sense that I believe that Lane will get them to the college football playoff. I believe in Lane, and especially this roster and this coaching staff. And I believe Will do that as well too. And they know what they're walking into. Like, they understand that there's a lot of pressure. We talked about it on our show. I think there's 2 coaches that have an unbelievable amount of pressure in SEC football this year. Number 1 is Lane Kiffin, and number 2 is Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're coaching for their jobs. It's because you can't have Arch Manning coming back and land Cam Coleman and have, you know, a $40 million roster, no different than LSU can't spend all this money on this coaching staff and all these changes and buyouts and not expect to be in the playoff in year one.
Well, it would be something else if that game in November in Tiger Stadium, I know it's not the last game, but that game goes a long way in deciding who makes the college football playoff out of those 2. Peter, could we take a quick 2-minute break and then bring you back just for a few more minutes after that?
Yes, that means I don't have to put the kids to bed. So yeah, I'm absolutely good for that.
Peter Burns from the SEC Network. We'll have more of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio when we come back.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Yeah, we are back on Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn, Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne. Let's get right back to our guest, Peter Burns from the SEC Network.
Hello.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, yeah. Peter, let me ask you a question. LSU spring practice, practice number four today. Post-game press conference, Kiffin's saying, you know, you got to take this slow. We're just getting to know each other, et cetera, et cetera. But he complains that he wishes they were executing better, especially in the passing game. You sunk $5 million roughly into Sam Levitt. He's gimpy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Does that concern you at all heading into Kiffin's first season?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent. I mean, that was part of the deal, right? When whether it was Damon Williams or who they were chasing, is the fact of there was musical chairs at the quarterback situation, and I was always a little bit worried of like, hey, are you going to put a bunch of money into a person coming off of an injury who's not going to be 100% in spring practice? And then I go back and look at it, and they go, well, I can remember when Jaden Daniels didn't have spring practice at LSU, and he did all right. You know, like he figured it out. So
Dad Chambliss too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, that's a great point. So there is concern, there's no doubt, because you want to have him as a skill set. But right now, this is more about learning the team, learning the concepts, learning the install and what it's like. So it's, you know, I look at it still as, you know, it's so funny because I remember, you know, now Glenn and guys, I'll tell you how old I am, and we're all kind of the same age. But back in the day, there really wasn't that much spring football, especially with new guys that got on the team. You didn't see them until fall practice. And so I'm not too concerned right now. I'm more concerned if you said, hey, they're not going to be able to run the ball, because as much as people think that Lane Kiffin is a throw the ball first offense guy, he definitely is more of a run first guy. You know, when you look at the run pass breakdown. So that's the one thing that LSU has to do better this year if they really want to compete for a college football national championship.
So LSU right now, I believe they're an 11.5 point favorite over Clemson on opening day.
That's crazy. God bless spring football, right? Yeah.
Realistically, what do you think that day is going to look like, or that night is going to look like in Tiger Stadium?
You know, it's going to be just a new journey, like a new beginning. And I think that's the biggest part of it. It's not even so much that it's Clemson. It's the fact that it's Lane. This is the guy that you chased. This is the homecoming queen that you wanted to land, and you did. And so now what does this look like? Right. You know, and I think that's kind of the situation right now. And it's going to be electric. And I'll tell you what, as electric as Tiger Stadium is going to be, it will pale in comparison to how electric Oxford, Mississippi is going to be in that first SEC opener when Lane returns to the Grove and to the Square and to, you know, Vaught-Hemingway. I mean, that's going to be the biggest football game, honestly. I said a couple of days ago, there are three games in the last 15 years, guys, that have stood out. It was Texas and A&M, the first time they played again at Kyle Field a couple of years ago. That was a huge one. It was number one versus number two, LSU Bama in 2011 in Tuscaloosa, and it's LSU Ole Miss in Oxford this upcoming season.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, those three games will be impressive. Peter, thanks a lot, man, for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Can't wait, boys. It's going to be a hell of a run.
Yes, it will be. It will be, and it's as he said it, it's going to be a journey. It is a. It's not going to be a one-year wonder with Lane. It's going to be this, what I think, at least 4 years or so of, and then we'll see beyond that. Whatever may or may not happen, maybe
Dallas
five
Cowboys.
Or six, yes, yeah, something Dallas like that. Cowboys. Who knows? Who might? What other opportunity may open up for him? But it is going to be a journey. And it's going to be fun, and it's going to be interesting, and there's going to be twists and turns along the way. Let's take our final break of hour number one. We'll have more of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio when we come back.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Tiger Rag editor Glenn Gilbo and the executive editor for Tiger Rag magazine, Todd Horn. We'll have Jacques Doucet on from WAFB. He was out in Sacramento. Turned out to be a shorter trip out west than many of the media conglomerate and the LSU women's basketball team thought. But and we'll get into that and a lot of other topics here with Jacques.
Was Jacques out there primarily to cover Kim's retirement? Yeah. What about all that?
It's craziness. It's absolutely craziness.
And there, you know, and there was one about a week before that Patino was going to retire. Yeah. Same type thing.
Yeah.
Same guy on Twitter?
I don't know if it was the same guy. But, you know, Kim did have that illness a year or so. So that,
she had a heart issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
I could see why some people took the bait right off.
And
Patino's 72 as well.
Yeah, and there's just not many.
Kim is.
I've alluded to this myself. There's just in this world of college athletics, more and more of these coaches are bailing, especially once they get up to the age that Kim is at. I mean, you see very few coaches that are 60+.
Well, there was like about four of the men's coaches that were in the Sweet 16 that were all late 60s and 70s. And Calipari was one of them and Patino. But, yeah, thank goodness that wasn't true. But, yeah, it's you got to be real careful, man, because it's easy to fall for one and hit that retweet, you know.
Well, yeah, and it's just it's a shame because there is just no consequences for the person behind this AI account or whatever the heck it is that is firing these things off.
But I will, and you know, Kim made a point. She said that makes y'all look bad. She
it
said
does,
that. And it especially since okay, let's say you see that on Twitter, and then there's a Kim Mulkey press conference. You know, as a reporter, if I was there, I would have like asked the SID or asked somebody around LSU before the press conference, before you just throw that question out there. Cause that's kind of sensitive. You know, people don't want to hear about their retiring.
Well, it was the, one of the main, women's basketball writers for ESPN. That was the one that asked the question.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm glad they
need to do a little background.
I'm glad that person did because it made for
wonderful theater.
Exactly.
Oh, great. Which, Jeff, you just brought journalism back 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, he gave me a story on Friday.
Well, and that was the thing. I was like, when they lost, I'm texting with my assistant news director, Andrew, and I'm saying, you know what, I'm just going to go through the sound tomorrow and we'll see what we got, you know, if it's just, you know, and we were trying to figure out what sound we were going to use on Monday. And for whatever reason, something compelled me. You know what? I'm going to stay up the extra 20 minutes because I was tired. I was exhausted on Friday. Watched a bad LSU baseball game. And then, you know, you see that shot go down. And that was and it was an intense game in the last few minutes. I mean, that was about as intense of a women's basketball game that I can remember. And so I was like, I was drained. I was emotionally drained. I was ready to go to sleep.
It wasn't a bad baseball game, but go ahead.
Yeah, they lost.
But they can lose and still play. It was a good game to watch. They almost pulled it out.
No,
you're result-oriented, Cub fan.
They had the tie and run to play.
Yeah, they had the tie and run to play.
Whatever.
He's a Cub fan.
It was 7-2. You threw dirt on it, and I know they only lost 7-4. But regardless, I was done.
If they would have got the pitcher out one inning before, Jay says they would have probably won the game.
But my journalism instinct told me I got to stay up and see what Kim has to say. And I'm glad I did. And then all of a sudden, I'm up an extra hour and a half more than I thought because I had to put a story together.
Boy, you got a sharp instinct.
Some people believe the retirement story because that's when the Will Wade story was breaking. So she's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Will Wade's coming in. I'm out of here. I'm not going to get any more roster money.
But
she
does fuel the fire. One, and we could ask Jacques about this when she made that comment to those reporters there about, oh, here's Will Wade's favorite reporters. I don't know why she does that.
She is every bit of a provocateur as there is anywhere in sports.
What did she mean by that?
I don't know. We'll ask Jacques when we come back.
She meant what she said.
Which was what?
Why are you here? You should be covering Will Wade.
Yeah, no, there's a little.
It's hard to get from Sacramento to Baton Rouge that fast. But
all
okay,
right, we got to go. We'll be back after this.